Welcome, friends, to the Enduring Gifts of Marvin Gaye podcast, brought to you by your 26-year listening veteran, Jessica. Join me as we celebrate these enduring gifts, the songs of Marvin Gaye. In each episode, I will share insights about the music and recount life experiences tied to it. I'm hoping to inspire you to take a first or your 500th first listen to these songs that are truly the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye.
Okay, you guys are here for Marvin Gaye. That's what you've been here for. So let's wrap up our conversation on Marvin with just one quick little cap off to other conversations that we've had as well. It's just, I want to kind of just, cap it off by saying that we as people of color just have to work harder for access. And you come up with the topic. Okay. But that's reality. You know what I mean? And it was abusive love, right? Like, probably, if I've ascertained anything, it's like, I'm so angry, right? When I'm talking, and it can almost come across as abusive. But I get really, and I'll tell you like where that was coming from. I get abusive when I recognize that people's efforts, a group's efforts, or an individual's efforts are designed to result in me or those that look like me, those of my group, feeling incapable. Feeling not up to the challenge, being, you know, like designated that we're not up to the challenge. You know what I'm saying? It's like that makes me become abusive in my level of anger. If you think that just by going in and rigging up some shit, and you think that's all you have to do to shut me down from showing up? It's just, it's not, though. Because it's just, it's not. And our group is built for knowing that we have to do a little bit more for access. I just, I was talking to my sister and she just said, you know, God, she was not being blasphemous. She was just like, but God had to be black. So we're built for it. You know what I mean? We're built for it. That's all that the moral to my story is. Like, you don't allow a group that you know is targeting you trying to on purpose restrict your access and think that that's all they have to do is put in place additional restrictions to your access and that now they can be hands washed of what they perceive as a problem for them. That all they have to do is make it a little bit difficult for you and you're not going to be able to show up because you're going to become dejected. You're going to become I'm going to try and keep it clean. You know what I mean? You're just going to wash your hands. You're going to forfeit. You're going to see an obstacle and you're not going to overcome the obstacle. That's not who we are. And it's not who, you know, just as individuals, us looking back at our family lines. I remember my grandma she'd be coming back into the house, like when she had retired, like she didn't really ever leave the house, but there would be times where she would be coming back into the house. And where was she coming from? She had just come back from voting, dude. Like she would walk. There was, I feel like the polling place was up the street. It was a little bit of a walk for her. She walked, you know, she did walk, but she would go walk and she'd be coming back into the house and she had just voted. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like your family, your individual family, you guys, come on. You know what I'm saying? And of course, the topic of voting is not the be-all, end-all solution to these things. Of course not. But it is a way to participate in your society. You know what I mean? Like, that's just the fundamentals of society and, like, a democracy. And so we, in, I think I said it before, pick the topic. We have to work harder for access. We know how to do that, people. We know how to do that. So, yeah, I will get abusive to convey that I am not the one. We are not the ones, fool, that are accepting restrictive access as the, oh, we're out of the game. You know what I mean? Like, we're just not the ones, people. We are not the ones. We don't know how to be. So, okay. Marvin. Did you, he's ours too. Wow. Are you so proud? Yeah, like, yeah. There would be no fucking way that I would be so if it wasn't so. You know what I'm saying? Ugh. Okay, so yeah, I'm like, Marvin is like all ours. And he was not a copier. I have, like I said, I've recorded the content so many times, haven't released, but there was a little exercise I did for myself. I know that I've mentioned that Marvin changed the bass game in R&B with inner city blues. Now, when I say R&B, though, when you think about that, that's not necessarily an R&B song. I wouldn't classify what's going on. You know, I think like that's just it. I wouldn't classify what's going on. It's fuck for sure not a concept album, because I don't like what the is Marvin's first project that he had all of his hands on. That's how you could label, identify it. It's not in the vein of R&B, but it's just, if we want to put it into a group, you know what I'm saying? And then kind of going forward. And I did some research on that. I was like, am I saying too much? Right. So there is definitely a coworker of his around the time and after, right? Up through, you know, he just lived longer than Marvin. And I went to the time frame. I went to like 71, 70, and I don't know that that coworker had a project from 71. So I think it was before 71. It was before What's Going On. And then that's exactly the right material. That was a yes. Listen, if what I'm trying to do is two things. Confirm, does Marvin change the bass game? Time number one. And number two, but this is not, you know, this is just like a this is extra credit. Does he copy? Okay. So we're going to go to a major coworker. Or, you know, like in our efforts, people, let's don't keep it weak. You know what I'm saying? We got to go with the major players. So go to a major coworker. Doesn't have a project that same year as What's Going On. His is a year before. I'm going to go to that. All right. And I'm going to listen to the bass. And the bass is, yeah, the bass is prevalent. The bass is there. The bass is driving. The bass is booming. The bass is pounding. Okay. The bass is not intellectual. The bass doesn't float. The bass doesn't really move. The bass, like, drills the pathway forward. Okay. The bass is just very present and prevalent. but the base is just a pattern and it does the exact same thing the whole entire time. Inner City Blues changes the game of bass. So that happened. And that was Marvin Gaye. And Marvin doesn't copy. Period. You take that even into his voice, The Thing, aka The Thing, and you get someone labeled as almost like one of the best songwriters of all time, Smokey Robinson, just because that has like 10,000 songs probably that he's written. I mean, like, it's just for how many songs he has written over time. But he writes good songs. Like, he does write good songs. And so you take somebody respected and reputable like that on the topic of song, and from him, he's going to tell you that, like, it's a privilege to have Marvin Gaye come and lend voice to your song, and it's going to become a song that basically you didn't write because Marvin put his voice on it. So he doesn't copy. He doesn't even know how to, like, fucking deliver your song the way you thought it should sound. You know what I'm saying? Like, he does not fucking copy. He can't even, like, deliver your song the way that you thought it was going to sound. He doesn't know how to copy. That's just how much somebody doesn't know how to do a thing. You know what I'm saying? So he doesn't even fucking know how to copy. That's the reason why, people. Let me, like, break that all the fuck the more the way down. So now let's get into actually redoing songs, okay? So there's his whole vein of jazz. Okay, check this out. So it was the Valentine's Day song that I put up, Song of the Day, this year in 2021. I came up with my artwork first. I was like, oh, I'm going to do some really pretty artwork for my video. Now I got to find the song. So, and I wanted it to be a brand new song. There wasn't a song of his that I already knew of that I thought fit my artwork. So I'm like, I want a new song. I just want a new song. I think, like, that would be great and fun. So I make sure that I'm listening to songs of his that I've never heard before. And then it was, I'm confessing, and it is, I'm CONFESSIN. I'm confessing that I love you is the name of the song. And I was just listening to that. I was like, oh, yay. That's the song to my artwork. That's the song for today. And so I found that in YouTube, of course, right? And because I had found that song by Marvin, this was crazy. Later on that night, later after I had posted my song of the day, I get a suggested video to look at that is that same song sung by this guy that shows up sometimes in these old movies that I watched. His name is Rudy Valli. And he's like just like a character actor from like the 40s is mainly where you will see him in movies occasionally. It's just like you're not really going to be like his top fan, I don't think, not as an actor, because he just shows up in movies. But they had a picture of him and I recognized that. I was like, that's that fool that like is in The Bachelor and the Bobby Sox, or like, and he's just a character actor in that movie. Why is he the face on a different version of somebody singing? Evidently, I didn't know that song, I'm Confessing That I Love You, that I just posted up by Marvin Gaye. So I'm like, okay, I gotta look at the click. I gotta look at this, right? And it comes up and they have like some information about that. So check this out. This song was written in 1930. That's the name of it, Confessing. I'm confessing that I love you. And then this fool, Rudy Valli, is singing the song. So mainly what he was a singer. Okay. He was mainly a singer and then he dipped into character acting in some movies. I never listened to any of his songs though. Like, I'm not trying to listen to him sing. Okay. Like, you can totally understand that. So, and he's singing the song the way that he would sing it. It's kind of cheesy, but he's singing this song that Marvin sang like 30 years later, and Marvin didn't know how to copy that. He didn't know how to copy that. So that's what, it's like whenever Marvin Gaye is singing a song that Frank Sinatra sang to before, I don't need to hear Frank Sinatra's version of it, because I can guarantee you, like, it doesn't sound anything like it. And he doesn't know how to copy. So, like, he can absolutely take the same song. And this is Marvin's. Now we're just getting into Marvin speaking on it, too. Because somebody asked him, I think it was Paul Gambaccini, was asking him. He's like, well, how do you feel about, you know, at Motown that they have, like, you know, three different groups record the same song? And Marvin's like, he ain't worried about it. He's head and shoulders. You don't give a fuck, Paul. Ain't none of them singing the song with this, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I'm head and shoulders above the rest. Let me finish the sentence. And he's just not worried about it. And did he need to be? Okay, so he doesn't copy. He doesn't know how to. He doesn't know how to copy. He can sing the exact same song that you sang. He doesn't even fucking know how to copy you. Okay. He can sing a song that you wrote. He doesn't know how to sing it the way you intended it to sound. He's going to make, you're so welcome that he made it sound so much better. And then he can do some very transformational things with music too. Okay. So that is the perfect segue into finishing up our conversation from the last episode dedicated to talking on Marvin, where I tell you that he changed the game. It's that time that Marvin Gaye changed the sound of music, because he creates the birth of hip hop in the 21st century. Okay. Now, here's something that I've just made a decision. It's taken me enough time, right? And I haven't been able to be working on this whole time, right? Like, there's been just too much fuck shit that has happened in life. And I haven't been able to be working on this. But in that time, I have definitely been able to arrive at the decision that there's no way in fuck that if I intend this to be the last episode of my podcast dedicated to Marvin Gaye, that what I will take the time to do in this space of this episode is be playing you music by any of these young punks that I have described to you. Okay. There's no fucking way. Okay. I'm not doing that. If I have, for copyright reasons, not played you more of Marvin Gaye's music throughout the course of this podcast, there's no way in fuck that I'm playing you any of theirs. There's just, and to get any, go out maybe getting a copyright claim from one of them when I am not here for their fucking music. Oh, hell fucking no. Okay. So I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not going to be playing you their music. I'll give you the songs. You can listen to it. Because that's necessary, but I'm not playing their music for you here. So what I can do though is, play you a little bit of Marvin's sound, and then I will play you the sound that led into. So, you know, what is music? It's patterns, right? It's sounds, it's pace, it's instruments, it's a technique, it's a pattern. But it can be heavily, then once it is created, it can be kind of heavily relied upon going forward. And so that's exactly what Marvin did in, more than likely, we have been able to deduce, right? It was in the September to October month timeframe of 72, right? Hold on. I'm on my computer right now, so as I get a little choppy in my talking here, I'm trying to navigate because I have, oh. Okay, look, I don't have it on this computer right here right now because like a week or so ago, I did a very necessary backup onto my external hard drive, my little library of this whole entire podcast. My actual computer is a little worn, and I was like, oh hell no, I think this computer itself could die at some point in time, and all of my podcast is only saved on it. So it's like, I better find a way to take my files off of this fucking computer so that if and when it goes down, I still have my shit. You know what I'm saying? Do that too. People, like, that's super important. It's called, I'll tell you what I have. It's called WD My Passport Ultra. And it's just sitting in my hand. It's a little box. It's a little smaller than my phone. And just maybe a little bit thicker than that. And it's just a little external hard drive. So all you do is got a, what is it? A USB cord that plugs into your computer and it, and you just grab all of your files off of your computer. It's like, it recognizes it like a little flash drive, and it's just, you take all your files and you save it onto this thing. And now it's, you can leave it on your computer, but I took it off of the computer because I needed to free up space too. Okay. So just guidance, like, don't ever get into a position where all of your hard work is just gone, you know, because something happens to your fucking machine. Okay. So, you know, and I was telling you guys too before that, like, oh, I'm going to have to record this in a different way, in different equipment. And I don't like the way that shit sounds when I record it in this different equipment. So I'm not going that sophisticated. It wouldn't be sophisticated anyway, because like I said, I don't, it can play the music, but it doesn't record my voice as well. So we're going, I'm going to, this is going to be archaic. But I'm going to be recording into this, and I'm just going to play the music in the background. So I told you that this is coming from what Marvin Gaye does in between September to October of 72. And this is a song from the soundtrack. So we know that he got to recording the soundtrack later in his month long period of recording, because he starts out recording the score, right? We know our terminology, right? He starts out recording the score with the movie orchestra people at the movie studio lot first, right? And then he wraps up those sessions, and then he goes back to Detroit and Chicago and does some concerts, and then he comes back, and he has it in mind, we come to find out, that he would have actually intended to include more of his vocal on the project. He had, once he came back, I feel like, you know, he wanted to get his hands wrapped around it and just create it and make it what he wanted it to be. And I think the one limitation, because I didn't point this out, but this was interesting to me. And maybe he had had this in mind, which is why, you know, he had this more grandiose thought process on it. The soundtrack itself, his album, the soundtrack, didn't get released until December. Okay, so when he comes back in probably the first part of October to finish or get started on the soundtrack, it may have been in his mind that he had like the month of October, maybe sometime into November, to be working on it. And that would explain, you know, partial songs that we get these bonus cuts where he has put complete vocal onto the songs, and that maybe he intended to do that more on most of the songs. But I think what became the limitation is that the movie itself was premiering for the very first time on October 31st, and then it gets released into like all movie theaters in the first week of November, you know, and they expected the soundtrack to coincide with that. But that is actually, when you think about that, that is actually fucked up. Like, if he had to have it done by October 31st, when that movie premiered for the gala invitational, you know, which was just hosted by Robert Hooks, his little organization, it is kind of fucked up that his whole entire soundtrack had to be done just for that. When, fuck, if I go to that movie, you know, check me out, I go to the movie Trouble Man, and I'm hearing this Marvin Gaye music in the movie. What? And that is going to be on a soundtrack album that is going to, and how come I can't buy that tonight? You know what I'm saying? If I get to go watch that movie sometime in November, beginning in November of 72, how fucking dare that I can't buy that album until sometime in December? Okay. Shit, y'all should have waited for the movie to be coming out until December then, if that was the case, because I personally would have been extremely offended that I could go watch that movie, but I can't go buy that album yet until December. Okay, so he should have had time to be able to finish what the fuck he wanted to do. But anyway, okay, we understand why I say that about Marvin, excuse me. So, okay, right? But it's probably beginning in October of 72, once he's back and he's now really just working on the soundtrack, his album. It is in the song Don't Mess With Mr. T, track 12 from the 13-track soundtrack, where this thing happens. Okay, and what did we... It was kind of like the main thread through the last episode. He wrote everything. He wrote he is Marvin Gaye. Marvin Gaye wrote everything on Trouble Man. And what we did, I think by force, by not having enough time, receive is mostly sound. Okay, he did not have time enough to put his voice more onto the project. I think, like, I was thought that that was by intention. I think it was by restriction of schedule. I don't think that, I don't know, you know, for him to say that there were a lot of problems on that, maybe that is a part of his critique, that there were a lot of problems on it, that we didn't receive more of his voice, you know, maybe. Maybe. I don't see why he would have any aversion to it. Mm. You know what I mean? Oh my God, that was his own thing. Yeah, I think that he probably enjoyed it like we did. Could you? Yeah. So, you know, I don't think that like Marvin Gaye had aversion to that thing at all. So he probably would have enjoyed being able to incorporate more of it into his project. Perhaps the fact that he didn't equates to him saying there were a lot of problems with the project. Okay. But so this thing happens, though, three times in track 12. And hold on, let me see if I can do something here. I want to copy. Oh, hold on. Yes, I can. Let me just do this. I'm going to add a new track. And then I'm going to copy all of this. And I'm going to paste it. Yes, that worked. Okay. And then I'm going to move this over so that I can just isolate one little part of what I'm talking to you about without a me. Cafron. Excuse me. This is not all joined together, so I'm going to need you to recognize that I'm trying to make... Hold on, let me unselect the whole thing. This little thing right now is really trying it. Hold on. Let me put it on the cursor there. Good. Really trying it. Now I'm going to move the... Thank you. Moving this part over so that it doesn't immediately have to flow into that, so that I can isolate one little part that I'm talking to you about. There we go. Great. Thank you for cooperating. I'm going to go up and I'm going to mute this track. And then, alrighty then. Here is what happens three times in his track 12. Okay, wow, that was really quick, and it wasn't loud enough either. Like, I just unmuted it, but do I also not even have this fucking thing turned up as loud as it goes? Yeah, actually, I do. Okay. So, I don't even know if that was worth saying that you could hear it. let me try it again. And it was like, was it maybe even 3 seconds that I just played for you right there? I think it's maybe 6 seconds is what this little counter thing is telling me. Yeah. Okay. It's 5 seconds. So, and I may have sped this up a little bit. No. Okay. Play it again. It's right there. All right, what are we listening to? I think we're hearing a triangle. I think it's a triangle. And I think that's the sickest way that a triangle has ever been played in the history of triangleism. That. But it doesn't sound like, because it's a triangle, so it's more of a clinky sound, right? But it's just really clean, right? And it if you could just, like, if you visualize it in your mind, you could see it being played as a triangle. It starts from the bottom left corner, goes up to the top, comes down to the bottom right, goes back over to the left corner, right? And just in that quick, it's a fast play of that pattern, right? So let's hear it again, 5 seconds. So this is it, people. It ain't, it wasn't like an opus. It's that. It's 5 seconds. And we hear that little pattern 3 times throughout the song, 3 times throughout track 12. Okay. Now, I tell you, it was in 2019. I'm driving back and I heard that. So I heard that fuck of a lot clearer in the Mustang with the shaker system. Yeah. I heard that a fuck of a lot clearer than when I'm like barely, I'm putting my little device right up to my computer. And so I heard the distinctive sounds of that. And I was like, wow, though. And it is most definitely the fact that I think it's a triangle. Like if I could just, I don't know every instrument possible, right? We learned about a güiro and a timpani. Like, I don't know what every instrument possible is, but it sounds to me like it's just a little triangle, dude. I could hear that or see that being a triangle, okay? Whatever the fuck it is. But let's just, because I think it's so sick, like, let's say that it's a fucking triangle, dude. Just immediately, I was able to run with that and understand that that pattern and sped up. Because, okay, look, here's what I'm telling you when I say that that is the birth of hip hop. What do I mean by that? I mean, you know, just like who is the epitome and the definition of a sample? Diddy, right? Like his career is off of working with artists where the music is a sample, dude. It's like, it's a remake. And it is a copy because the music is just completely exactly the same. It is exactly the music with Marvin. How I tell you, he doesn't know how to copy. It's like, I can, at 4 o'clock in the morning, find out that I'm Confessing That I Love You was actually a song written from 1930, sung by Rudy Valley. And then Marvin Gaye also did that song. I promise you you would not understand that if you just listened to the same two songs. Okay. When we get into this generation now, when they sample, it is 100% the original music. They don't change that shit. They just come through and they put some lyrics onto it, dude. But it is 100% the music. Now, I'm going to break your mind on this. Okay, so I'm going to tell you, like, I would say the most prolific sample of all time. And I'm going to break your mind right now. If you don't already know this, if you did not know this, I'm going to break your mind right now. Because my mind was broken about a month or two ago. It's been that long since I last spoke to you on Marvin, right? I'm in the YouTube music thing, and there was this hilarious thumbnail. There's this black dude from the 70s, okay? And it's the cover of his album, and he's got his arms out in front of it. He's got his shoulders to the side, and then his arms going across his body, and his hands just out at you. And I was just like, who is this dude? What the fuck is his music about, right? I had to click just because of the way he looked like such a fool in his thumbnail. Okay. So I do that. I click. And this song, I feel like, is maybe, it's over 5 minutes long, okay? And I feel like maybe that song is actually 8 minutes long. I can't tell you the man's name. And I can't tell you the man's name. I don't think he did anything in the 70s beyond this, okay? I never had ever seen this full before. And I listened to Marvin Gaye. I can kind of know who some of his coworkers are from that time frame, right? Like, hello. So I've never seen this man before, ever. And I go ahead and I push play. Like I said, I think the song may have been up to 8 minutes long. Maybe it's 6.5, 7 minutes long. Okay. I would tell you that for the first at least minute and a half, if not 2 minutes, if not 3 minutes of that song. I don't think it's 3 minutes, but it's definitely at least a minute and a half. It may be 2 minutes of the song. 100% is the, is Dr. Dre's song. Oh. That song. Every single part of the beat of Dre's song is this man's song. There's not a deviation from it. Not a deviation from it. There was this in the 70s looking a fool on his little thumbnail, his album cover. I had to click it. And for the first minute and a half, 2 to 3 minutes, it's just the instrumental of that too. Like, he's not singing. The man, his song, the lyrics don't start in his song until he has established that work. Okay. It's just instrumental on his shit. It comes in like that. And then he kind of repeat. Oh, his, I wanna do something freaky to you. Once he does start to sing some lyrics to this shit, like, I'm telling you, after he has established his work, and it takes at least a minute and a half, if not 2 minutes, to do that, then he starts to come in and he wants to do something freaky to you. And I was like, I sat there, I could not listen to that whole entire song. Because I was like, oh my God, beat for beat, every single part of Dr. Dre's song, that's a sick song. Is this man this full from, oh my gosh. So what I'm telling you, that there's like the sampling work is just a bar for bar, absolutely no creative license that is being taken. I'll tell you how I experienced that. Okay, so YouTube, right? Like I told you for a while about this old movie channel that I had. Well, I actually had two old movie channels, because I had one that was completely dedicated to Cary Grant. I don't think I ever told you guys about that one. I had a whole, just all, the whole entire channel was dedicated to Cary Grant. Got that up in one fell swoop. Just went through, tried to grab, he made 72 movies. Cary Grant is my favorite actor of all time. I know I've told you guys that. So he made 72 movies. I grabbed all of his 72 movies. I tried to place them all up there. Some of them couldn't go up. Some of them could. So everything that could was up. And then, you know, that happened. And like I said, in one fell swoop. And so I let that channel sit there untouched like that for about 5 months, just because I put the movies up and that was all that it was to do, you know. But then I got in my other little old movie channel going, and I was telling you guys about that one. And then I don't know, like somehow I just got more like engaged again in the Cary Grant thing. And I came across the fact that he had done a lot of radio performances throughout his career, which was just really odd to me. But I had to go back to that time frame, the 40s, and TV didn't exist yet, right? So what major actors, all of these A-list Hollywood actors, all of the A-list ones, would take their movies that they had made for film, movie theaters, and they would condense it down to like an hour max, and they would get on these little radio shows, and they would speak and act out their little movies in an hour-long condensed version, usually the original actors from the movie. That is crazy when you think about it. But when you think about it from today's point of view, but when you go to that time, TV was the only other medium other than movies. They didn't, radio, radio was the only medium other than movies because they didn't have TV yet. So it's just like, wow, you could get stars like Cary Grant, Betty Davis, Katharine Hepburn, you know what I'm saying, doing their movie roles on radio for free, right? Like you just turn on your radio and you could hear that shit. So I started to put up his radio performances too. And that was doing really well. Like people really liked that. And then all of a sudden, like once I became re-engaged with that channel, because like I said, I had one fell swoop put up his, all the movies that could go up. And then I left it at that. And it was probably like about 5 months later, I came back through. I had found this information. I didn't know that he did radio performances until I found out. And then I started finding them and I would put those up. And I was making, actually, I did one. I made a little movie to it. I made a little animated movie to it. It was fun. I did that. So all of a sudden, my subscriber count started to just skyrocket on that channel. Well, it did on the other movie channel that I was telling you guys about, too. Like, at the same time, my subscriber counts were going up, 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 up. And all of a sudden, I had on both channels at the exact same time, just about, like, only maybe a couple of days apart. On both of these channels now, I had hit these thresholds that YouTube has for being able to get paid for your channels. You have to have 1,000 subscribers and you have to have so many hours of time that people have watched your content. Well, I had all of the stuff. I had all of the requirements. And so now you could apply to get money for your channels, your work, your efforts that you're putting in to have a YouTube channel, right? So I applied for both channels at the same time, right? And they come back and they tell me, yeah, you know, we only tell you about these guidelines that you can have, that you have to meet in order to be able to apply to get the money. And, you know, they don't really tell you like that it's an arbitrary thing as to whether or not you'll be able to get the money on your channel. And they came back at me and they were like, you don't do anything creative. They were like, we're not going to let you monetize your channels because you're not doing anything creative. You're just putting up other people's stuff. So you don't know. We decided like, we're not going to let you make money on your channels. And that kind of fucked me up a little bit because on the one hand, I'm not arguing against that, right? But it's like at the exact same time, obviously, I just enjoyed the way, especially on the Cary Grant channel, just like as soon as I started to give the people new content, and I did a little video and I told them, I was like, oh my gosh, people, I have been a Cary Grant fan for like 30 years. And it is only now that I'm finding out that he did all of this stuff on the radio and it's available. And he actually even had his own little series and shit. So I was these people were eating this shit up because they also didn't know it. And it wasn't, and I was having to find it. You know, it's not like there are 5 other places that you could go to on YouTube and find any of nobody else on YouTube had a channel dedicated to Cary Grant. Okay. So on the one hand, yes, I am putting up Cary Grant's movies. And of course, like there's no creativity about that, but it is fucked up at the same time because there are obviously people that are eating this shit up. They are really enjoying this content. It is all dedicated to him. It is one convenient spot for them to come and get his stuff. And fuck you that I'm not putting any creativity into it because like I said, I was making movies. I was doing a lot of video work for this shit. I was making movies. Okay. I was on his little radio performances. I was making movies to go along with it. So fuck them. Anyway, I was like, you know what? Fuck this. So I took my channels down. Both of them. I took them down because I was just like, fuck it. Y'all are not going to take my shit down for like the 5th time. Number one. Number two, like I'm just done with this for a little bit. But looping that into this conversation right now, at the exact same time, this is 100% a fact, you know, when on a sample, you beat for beat, note for note, take someone else's music. And of course, like with copyright and shit, you got to give credit. Like, so I know that there's no way in fuck that Dre's song didn't get permission from this fool to use his music like that. Right. You gotta get your permissions and shit. And again, on my channel, everything that was up there, the permission had been granted for it to be up there. But Yeah, when you are not recreating a wheel or even elaborating on the wheel or changing anything about the wheel, you know, dressing up the wheel, decorating the wheel, you're just putting the wheel out there. Yeah, it's, you're not contributing anything new. Okay. And so, yeah, on all of them, and I would say, I know that why they told me that on my Cary Grant channel is because probably more than half of my content on the channel was his movies. And that is just a copy and paste, right? I was giving the radio content and I was decorating that up and, you know, putting pictures to it and shit. And, you know, again, though, it's like, take into consideration, though, the rarity of the content, like the difficultness to, in just one, like I said, nice packaged up place, you're a Cary Grant fan. Look, I'm offering something very convenient to Cary Grant fans. They don't have to sift through a whole bunch of other shit. They just get to be dedicated to his content, and they're getting all kinds of new content on him. I guarantee you, like, the stuff that I was putting up, that was the radio performances, people didn't know about this shit. They were loving it just the way that I was loving to find it. So, you know, there's different arguments to the conversation. I haven't played Marvin Gaye music in these podcast episodes because of copyright claims. It's like, it's different locations that you can use his shit with so I'm saying, like, I restrict it to my YouTube channel because when I try and put his stuff up on the YouTube channel, they let me know right away if it's allowed. On the internet, where it's just something like this, where they don't monitor it or, you know, communicate as much, I'm not taking a risk like that. So I'm doing like hand motions right now, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it is what it is, right? But in music, way the fuck more than movies, right? Okay, so think what I was doing. I was just, yes, completely. I'm taking a movie that I love and I'm allowing everybody to have access to it, okay? So yes, there's absolutely no creativity involved in that. So I could totally see how on my other channel, they told me that they wouldn't let me monetize it because that was all I was doing. On the other channel, that's all I was doing was just putting up movies that I found that weren't Cary Grant movies. You know what I'm saying? Like, I love old movies. Cary Grant is my favorite. So, yes, I had an entire channel dedicated to him. But then I love old movies, like, of all around. So I had to have a whole other channel to share that shit, too. And on that channel, I ain't trying to, like, do a whole bunch of extra. I'm just trying to give you the movie. Like, let's just watch the movie, right? So, yes, I get it. I'm just copying and pasting. There's no creativity involved there. With music, it is kind of sort of that same thing. It's like, yes, they come through and they put totally brand new lyrics on it, but it's like, damn, is your content, does it have any value? You know what I mean? Oh, fuck. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if your content is valuable, that you've just completely used the music, okay? And then you've put, yeah, I don't know that the value is always there either, but it gets to happen, right? You give your credit. You just attribute it. You give your credit saying, hey, we pulled all of this music from Homeboy and these are our lyrics to it. But it's like, okay. So this happens. I'm just trying to establish to you that this definitely happens in music a lot, right? So with Marvin, let's hear this one more time. Okay, what could you do to that? What could you do to that? To make it sound like stuff you're hearing nowadays. Speed it up a bit. Starting to sound a little familiar, huh? Starting to sound a little familiar. And wow, but it's the exact pattern. Now on that, all I did, that's Marvin's little, the thing I played for you about five times altogether, right? And all I did was I took that exact and I changed the pace of it. So let me do it again. Hold on. Let me actually move this over here so I don't have to. Okay. Here we go.
Do it again.
Because let's even speak to that. In this day and age, in regard to music, is so much more the word technology around it, right? And so much more mechanization around it, right? That's what I love. That is what I love when I can go to October of 72 that Marvin made that sound. And I think it's a triangle. What do you think that it is? It is something that is man-made, hand-played. This is man-made and hand-played. Then in this day and age, all you gotta do is put a machine on it. To speed it up. And let me now just, and that's the bridge, right? Is just from October of 72 when Marvin had to hand make and hand play. And I don't know that that was Marvin, right? Like, but he wrote everything. So it's from him. Whoever was playing that triangle played it to sound like what Marvin envisioned it to sound like. If it wasn't Marvin. I mean, how could he not play that, right? He's a percussionist. How could he not play that? The best example that I can give to you that I can play to you for free with no copyright worries is the music to my podcast. Now, once I play you this music to my podcast, it's going to be crystal clearly quickly familiar to you what it is. And then let's just hear the whole morph and we'll be where we're at. Okay, so here's what that mechanized, what Marvin's handmade and hand played in October of 72. You put some mechanization on it and that's all you're doing, fool. Don't give yourself an ego boost. Don't give yourself credit. Don't give yourself an ego boost. Don't think you're doing anything brand new. And you put a machine next to this shit. You speed it up and you loop it up. And this is what it is today. That's my music on my podcast. There was something about that music when I chose it 2 years ago that just pulled me in. And I was like, you know what? Yeah, let's go with that. The only thing I thought, I love this. I'm going to say this. The only thing I thought is, what the fuck does that have to do with Marvin Gaye? Except for 2 years later to understand, So let me let you hear that again. And now let's just hear real time, the morphorization of all of that. Let me let you use your ear. Okay, here we go. It's going to go from Marvin, handmade and hand played. Marvin, me, taking a machine and speeding it up. To then, I'm a music producer. I know how to use the board and shit. Oh, let me take this pattern and just, yeah. Okay, so here we go. And let me do this. There is a little thing I can do in here, right? This little program. There we go. Okay, hold on. I can do so many things. So let me do this. Thank you. know what I'm saying? I feel like in order to do the speed up that I did, I feel like they have times that you can speed it up. And I maybe did it like 5 times faster. But that the thing that we hear nowadays, what is it, just like 50 times faster? That's all that it is. It's just sped up, people. It's just sped up. Okay, so now I'm at about an hour. I can probably spit this out. Okay, so how you can hear this in the birth of hip-hop today. And it's not just hip-hop. And I said it's only young punks. It's not just young punks. There's Mariah Carey. We Belong Together. Listen to her song. Listen to her song, We Belong Together. The beat drops when Marvin Gaye starts to happen. Mary J. Blige, You Plus Me, Love Lesson. Push play on that. She starts out giving you the Marvin Gaye. I love that. That's a great example. Actually, I would tell you, start with Mary J, You Plus Me, Love Lesson. That is from her Strength of a Woman. I believe it was like 2017 album. Go to You Plus Me, Love Lesson. That song starts out with the Marvin Gaye. Mariah Carey, We Belong Together. The beat drops on the Marvin Gaye. Lil Wayne, She Will. Beat drops on the Marvin Gaye. Khaled, DJ Khaled, could be purple, it could be pink, it's depending on how you mix that shit. What the fuck is that song? It could be purple, it could be pink, depending on how you mix that shit. Something about, you know, because you don't give a fuck because you're young but you're only getting older. hold on, okay. Jeezy, the one that he does with Kanye, is it Put On? I think the name of that song is Put On. That definitely has it. Rick Ross, The Boss, has it. I would even say that Drake, Make Me Proud, the one with Nicki Minaj, has that. You just listen for, let me let you hear again what it sounds like nowadays. Okay, so when you're hearing that pattern in your hip hop of nowadays, where do you not hear that? I mean, you okay, I'll tell you who you don't hear it from. The ones that don't identify themselves as the realest in the game, right? I told you, I am not wasting your time with anybody other than the ones that call themselves the realest in the game. Oh, what the fuck is that song by DJ Khaled? Because why I like that one too is that Wayne is on that, Drake is on that, Rick Ross is on that. There's even somebody else, I think. I feel like it's an E-40 sample is who the main music comes from. It could be purple, it could be pink, it's dependent on how you mix that shit. Something about I don't give a fuck because I'm young, but I'm only getting older, right? Oh, what the fuck is the name of that song? I like that song. It's a DJ Khaled song. I will listen to that when I'm in the Mustang. I feel like, too, even a little bit, you hear this in Spodeyody. What is Spodeyody Dopalicious from the Andre 3000 and Big Boy Outcast, right? It's just, it's that pattern. You hear it everywhere. You hear, it's the foundation of hip hop from the realest in the game. The ones that move the most units. That's the only ones that I can a little bit fuck with in this day and age. You know, I don't have time to be listening to you know I don't have time to be listening to everybody. I don't like a whole lot of, my mama don't like a whole lot of people. So ain't nobody got time to be listening to all of these little nowadays, but definitely the ones that go by identifying themselves as the realest in the game. Oh yeah, I've heard their shit. And I also hear the Marvin Gaye in it at any and all given points. I also can just very clearly establish they don't drop their fucking beat until they drop the Marvin Gaye. All right, you know, like, this thing is about to quit, but I'm done. Like, I'm good. So, love you guys. I got your back, and, like, abusively so, if need be. We will not allow extra work for access to be the thing that takes us out of the game, people. And Marvin is all ours. Oh, yeah.
Whew.
Mm. The baddest motherfucker that there ever is all ours. Love ya.
Well, friends, that's it for this episode. Did we have fun? I had fun. Subscribe to our show so you never miss the enduring gifts of Marvin Gaye. Follow us on Pinterest, pinterest.com/MarvinGaye_enduring_gifts. There, we are up to 45,000 views per month. I have thousands of images and videos of Marvin. Also, check out the YouTube channel, Marvin Gaye's Enduring Gifts. I'm building the Song of the Day playlist there. It's my ultimate goal to become your free online Marvin Gaye listening resource. So, as always, we really appreciate your listening support. Give us subscribes, give us likes, and thank you for listening.